May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 1111. Jesus, thou alone canst save, thou canst raise the dead to life. Thy reviving power I crave to decide this inward strife. 1111.
Thank you. May the Lord help us to read Psalms 34 and 1 to 5. Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Psalm 125. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people, from henceforth even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity. But peace shall be upon Israel. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. O Lord, we plead for thy gracious, blessed presence here to be known this evening. Lord, that we may be favoured with the influence of thy dear Spirit, thy powerful, quickening, illuminating, revealing Spirit, convincing of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Oh, convince us of our sin in that way only thou canst. Lord, oh, convince us of righteousness. There is only one. The righteousness of thy dear Son. There is no other. And of judgment. There is only one judgment. Thou hast appointed a day in which thou judge the world in righteousness by that man whom thou hast ordained. And thou hast given assurance to all men in this, that thou hast raised him from the dead, thy own dear Son. Oh, we do pray for that convincing by thy Spirit. Lord, oh, that we might be favoured with that faith, which is such a convincing proof. Thy servant Paul said, we walk by faith, not by sight. He also wrote, the just shall live by faith. And Lord, we pray for those who have come in thy house this evening. And Lord, through the power of indwelling sin and the temptations of the adversary and worldly things, Lord, they look upon things. And there is such sorrow, grief, hopelessness, death, darkness, misery. Lord, bless them with that uplook, so that they may not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Lord, that they may see Jesus by living faith. Oh, we do pray, take the veil off our eyes. Disclose the heavenly mysteries and spread the gospel feast. Take the yoke off our jaws, lay meat unto us. That meat indeed, the flesh of thy dear Son, that drink indeed, his precious blood. Lord, oh, we do pray for these blessings. They are vital. Without them we must perish. Man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. That is, say to that woman of the natural water, he that drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But he that drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. For the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Oh, may that water be given for the first time, or in that renewing thou didst speak of, springing up, even this evening. Oh, do grant, we pray, that Jesus may appear. Oh, Lord, surely that is the springing up of the water. Oh, we pray for it. When thy Spirit takes of the things of Jesus and shows them to us. Lord, old things cease and all becomes new. The mountains slow down at thy presence. The leper is made clean, the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk. The dead are raised. The poor have the gospel preached to them. Blessed are they who are not offended in thee. O Lord, help us. Thou knowest sin is mixed with all that we do. Oh, we pray then, let thy work appear. That pure, blessed work of God. Oh, let thy righteousness cover us, we pray, Lord Jesus. Oh, wash us from all our sins. The sins, Lord, that we commit every day, every moment of our lives. The sin of our nature. The sins of thought, of word and of deed. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. The thought of foolishness is sin. Lord, what a catalogue. Oh, do forgive everyone. Let not one spot remain, we pray. And Lord, do so exercise us by thy Spirit that we shall be found diligent in seeking this cleansing. Lord, leave us not to long accounts. And yet, Lord, if there is one or more here this evening and there is a long account, and still it is not settled, Lord, help them to bring that long account. Lord, leave us not to lose it in the wrong way. Lord, leave us not to think we can write it off. Thou alone canst, the debt, Lord. Only thou couldst release us from it. But Lord, thou canst, as some of us have proved. The blood of Jesus Christ, thy Son, cleanseth from all sin. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly, freely forgave them both. Lord, we seek thy mercy for this people. Grant the desires of their heart where thou hast given them. Grant desires where there are none. O Lord, grant the awakening, grant the recovery, grant the restoration that has been sought in the hymn. Lord, oh, where should we go if thou wert not almighty? Where should we go if thou wert not long-suffering, plenteous in mercy? Where should we go if thou didst not delight in mercy? Where should we go except thou said, him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou and thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Oh, may each hear those words of eternal life, and by those words be caused to go to thee and cleave to thee. Compelled I am on Christ alone to hang. Lord, do appear for those in particular troubles. Lord, do deliver them. Oh, may it be granted, if it is thy will, even this evening. The delivering word. Lord, that delivering revelation to see Christ suffering for my sins on Calvary's cross. Lord, do help those that mourn. We would seek for them thy rich consolations, thy upholding under the loss, thy sanctifying of the loss. Lord, that through the loss they may know more of thee, be caused to lean more wholly upon thee. Thou knowest how prone we are, Lord, to make props, to lean on self or some other creature. Lord, to go to self or some other, even one of the Lord's people, for advice, for counsel, for comfort. But Lord, the hymn writer was so true when he wrote, every prop must first or last sink or fall but Jesus Christ. Thou dost either take the prop away or give us such a heavy burden the prop won't bear it. But either way, Lord, it is a blessed work thou doest. For underneath are the everlasting arms, and may thy people find it so, feel it so. Lord, have mercy on us, as we are reminded in these bereavements there's a time coming when nature will sink beneath her load. We pray then, with this, when we come there, with this my every fear dispel, one sip of Bethlehem's sacred well. For Lord, thou wast born at Bethlehem, that thou shouldst die at Calvary and rise from that tomb and ascend into heaven, and thy people should ascend after thee. Lord, lead us that way. Thyself, Lord, I am the way, thou said. Lead this people. Oh, make them followers of Jesus Christ. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. O Lord, speak to this people. Feed thy sheep and thy lambs with thy own blessed word. Let even this evening the sheep and the lambs be fed. Thou knowest what is best for. Lord, we think comfort is best always for us. But Lord, thou art the good shepherd. Thou knowest. Oh, we pray then, but oh, do grant us thy provision. Lord, if it be the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, and blessed it is, because thou dost give it. And no good thing will thou withhold, and no bad thing will thou give. For thou hast not bad to give to thy people. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst then bless this people. Go before them in the untrodden steps. Guide them by thy counsel. Help them to watch thy hand. To watch and pray. Lord, grant that clear direction. Grant that powerful constraining. Lord, because we need more than direction. Lord, we know the way we should go. But all we do need the good shepherd to go before us according to thy promise. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee, he will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Constrain our souls by love to love. Lord, we pray for a truly thankful heart. We thank thee, Lord, for thy grace. Sovereign, rich, superabounding grace. That where sin has abounded, grace has much more abounded. We thank thee, Lord, where it is so with those now landed safe in glory with thee. And Lord, as thou art the same gracious God, and the grace thou didst give them has not made thee poorer of grace. The fountain is in no way diminished because thou art infinite. Oh, we pray then, may a double spirit, a double portion of thy spirit be given unto us. Oh, Lord, do grant us more grace. Oh, we pray for the mind of Christ. We pray for the spirit of Christ. We pray, Lord, to be truly clay in thy hand. We pray, Lord, truly to be under thy gracious, kind, merciful, effectual power, that it be not us, but thou in us. Even as thy servant Paul declared it, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And Lord, prepare us for that fixed appointment. Oh, bless us with that faith, so that it may be true of us. The time is now fixed, and soon it will come, when Christ will his messenger send to fetch him from Meshech and gather him home, and then all his troubles will end. We thank thee, Lord, for thy work, the appearing of it, the promise of it, the faithfulness of thy dealings. Who is a God like unto thee? We thank thee for the wondrous grace, the wonderful working of Almighty God. Truly the name of thy Son is wonderful. Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. And the name of thy blessed Spirit is Comforter. And thy name is the Father. Like as a father pitieth his children, so thou dost pity those that fear thee. Thou knowest our frame. Thou rememberest that we are dust. And thou dost not deal with us after our sins, nor reward us according to our iniquities. Who is a God like unto thee? Lord, there is none. Thou art God alone. Whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Lord, go on to be gracious. Do help us, Lord. Go before us in all that lies before us. Strengthen us with might by thy Spirit in the inner man. Favour us with thy felt presence. Let us see more and more thy work, feel more and more in our own hearts. Let thy name be more glorified, even in us. Lord, we cannot understand it. When thou dost glorify thy name in such worms as we. Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? Bless the families. Have mercy on our children, young people. Lord, grant them thy tender fear. Maintain it where thou hast given it. Lord, make a right and honourable way for them in every respect. Callings, where it is thy will, those relationships, marriages that thou hast in thy eternal purposes or otherwise, a single state. O Lord, do grant dwellings. Grant thy direction in these things, thy provision in these things. Grant help, Lord, in the paths they walk. Lord, the difficulties, the mountains, the enemies, Lord, appear. Show them that the battle is not theirs, but thine. Enable them to go out against the enemy in faith. Forgive all we ask wrongly, make up in giving where we fail to ask. We plead in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Hymn 883. How backward is my heart in search of endless life. How loath with toys to part, which only bring me grief. Small riddance in the race I make, yet pant for breath each step I take. 883.
Thank you.
Seeking the Lord's help, I venture to direct you to Psalm 34, reading verses 6, 7, and 8. Psalm 34, verses 6, 7, and 8. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. This will be the testimony of each of the Lord's people. There's no other way of deliverance but this. God only has ever had one way of delivering his people. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. Oh, we have in the Word of God these blessed testimonies of men like David. How qualified they were to give these testimonies. They are the Lord's people. Only they can say these things in honesty and sincerity and truth. The men and the women that were inspired by God to write the scriptures, they had that particular qualification of being under the anointing of the Spirit. But really, you know, whenever any of the Lord's people were enabled to lisp out a few notes of testimony of the Lord's goodness to them, they are under the anointing of the Spirit. This is why they feel so inadequate of themselves. Why, if it is in a private way, or it is if it is in the more public way, in the before the Church of God, and at the very best, how far short they all feel to come in speaking of the Lord's goodness. One thing is certain, they're all brought to feel the condition David was brought to feel. This poor man. We're told at the head of this psalm, he wrote this, when he changed his behaviour before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. He was where he ought not to have been. And that's where the Lord's people, alas, are often getting themselves, where they ought not to be. Not necessarily outwardly, though of course in David's case here it was outwardly. He shouldn't have been anywhere near Abimelech. And he had to feign himself mad and let his spittle fall down on his beard, that Abimelech should say, what have I any need of this madman? Send him away. But this psalm speaks the truth that David in this matter cried unto the Lord. And it was by the Lord's powerful working that David was sent away. Abimelech might have turned and thrust his sword into him. This poor man, a poor sinner. What is the poverty of the Lord's people? Sometimes, yes, in temporal, in providential things, it is a financial poverty. It's not so much known today as it was in former generations. But the Lord knows where it is yet known. But above all, it is the spiritual poverty. And the experience of that is not as well known as it was. The Lord, you see, he sanctified the path those people had to walk. I've just referred to who were in more poverty-stricken conditions temporarily. He sanctified it, didn't he? But you know, the Lord, he will make all his people know their poverty. They won't find it out themselves. Ministers can't point it out to them, although they must seek to. Lift up thy voice with like a trumpet to make known to my people their transgressions. God does it to that church that said they were rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. My dear friend, how often that charge applies to us. You say, does it? Well, if we didn't think we were rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, we'd be so prayerless. Would we come up to the house of God so unexercised? We'd be so earthbound, we'd be so carnal, so indifferent about our spiritual state, unless we thought we were rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. But God told them, thou knowest not that thou art poor and naked and blind and miserable. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, thou mayest be rich. If your soul's exercises have truly been described in those two hymns you've sung this evening, you didn't make that known to yourself. What an expression of poverty. What a pleading for deliverance from that poverty. This poor man. Well, how poor are the Lord's people? They are destitute. What do they have? You see, one of those things that the church of God, the true church of God, the true child of God, is mistaken about, is thinking that even past experience is present riches. Now, do not mistake me, my dear friend. If you do have a previous experience of the Lord's blessing, you are a rich person. But with regard to today, that past experience itself doesn't help you. The Lord may use that past experience to help you. And he won't use it to help you in such a way as you lie down and think, well, the Lord blessed me then. I don't need to trouble about today. I don't need to pray today. I don't need to seek him today. If you've had a good hearing here or anywhere else, if you've had Christ preach to your soul here, and oh, I do hope you have, or somewhere else, the remembrance of that, the Lord will not let you come up to the house of God thinking, I had a good hearing. Even if it was even on the past Lord's day. Or even since then. Now if he uses past things for your help, it will be in bringing you now to him. That's the help. Or anything that brings us now to Christ, that is the help that the Lord grants his people. This poor man, well, what means does the Lord use to bring sinners to Christ? Poverty. Poverty. Nothing else. What does the apostle say of him? Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. This poor man cried. Why? Because God taught the poor man to cry. He made the poor man feel his poverty, but he gave the poor man a little grain of faith. And what is the work of the little grain of faith? A cry. A cry. The word cry sets forth urgency. Oh, the urgent cry. David's was, wasn't it? And you know, my dear friend, if the Lord in mercy show us our need, ours will be an urgent cry. If he show us our need and grant us that little grain of faith, it will be wrestling prayer. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. This poor man cried. But you see, the crying was of the Lord. Why didn't he cry instead of going down to the Philistines? Well, so on that other occasion we read of, when he went in the same direction. And it says, after the Lord in mercy kindly chastened David and brought him into such desolation so that he was greatly distressed. And we read, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. Well, why didn't he before? Jesus said, without me ye can do nothing. So when David says here, this poor man cried, he's not saying, oh, what a good man I am, though I'm poor, because I cried. No, not one whit of that. This poor man cried because this poor man has a God who is gracious, who is merciful, who does everything for me. He puts cries in my heart. But then the expression cry also sets forth simplicity. God doesn't need complicated prayers, so he doesn't give his people complicated prayers. If your prayers are complicated, they're not indicted by the Holy Spirit. Oh, how simple really are the needs of sinners. What do they need? Lord, save me, or I perish. What do they need? Lord, help me. What do they need? Lord, deliver me. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. And the Lord heard him. Oh, how important this is. Oh, David, when he cried, how everyone who cries hangs upon this, that the Lord will hear them. They pray not to a God who cannot hear. They pray to the God who hears the cries, the sighs, the groans of all his people. Not one of them misses his ear. And the Lord heard him. The miracle of it. You know, I don't believe the Lord's people here below will ever cease to be amazed when the Lord does hear them. Though they've been given that true faith in crying, Yet still it is a wonderful surprise when the Lord hears. And the Lord always hears his people in time. Maybe there are those here this evening and you say, oh, I can't say this. I hope I can say I've cried, but I can't say the Lord has heard me. Well, the Blessed Spirit used this word to encourage you to keep crying. Because David says, and this is one of the purposes of God in causing David to write this, is that other people might be encouraged to cry too. And that's why David says, the Lord heard me. But then, when you come to the conclusion he hasn't heard you, that's not in your knowledge. That is, if you say he hasn't heard you, in the case of the Lord's people who truly cry, that is a false conclusion you've come to. What you mean is you haven't had the answer yet. Now often the Lord's people prove sometimes years afterwards that the Lord heard them. Have you ever been exceedingly humbled, my dear friend, in the Lord remembering your prayers better than you do? He certainly does. When you get an answer to a prayer you'd forgotten, you'd prayed. Oh, what a God we have. There's none like unto him. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him. He heard him because the Lord taught this poor man to pray aright. His cry was for mercy. God can't disregard that prayer. Notice in that parable of the Lord Jesus, it says the Pharisee prayed thus with himself. The Lord didn't hear that, although of course he did hear what was said, but he didn't hear it as prayer. It wasn't prayer. But that prayer of the publicans, we read, he went down to his house justified. Why? Because the Lord heard it. Why? Because it was a prayer for mercy. And this is what this poor man is reduced to. He's reduced to this. My hope, my only hope's in thee, O God, be merciful to me. I've got nothing to plead, Lord. No good works. Look where I am. Look how I've got where I am. My sin. Look what a fool I am. Oh, look what reproach I've brought on thy name. He was the anointed of Israel. He was the one that Samuel was sent to anoint with oil. Arise, anoint him. This is he. That's every child of God. Called by grace. They're anointed to the throne. But what sad places they get into between the anointing and the ascending to the throne. But they'll come through. They'll come through. Not because of their steadfastness, not because of their faithfulness. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Heard him. Heard him in Jesus' name. Heard him. Through that blessed intercession, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of thy my hands as the evening sacrifice. Oh, have you ever cried? You see, if you're a poor man, if you're a poor spiritual man, oh, what must your cry consist of? What must that cry be asking God to do to save you in his Son? Oh, save me, said the hymn writer, in thy Son. Look into the obedience of another, the only obedient one. Look into the righteousness of another, the only righteous one. Oh, look in to be accepted in that blessed name. A cry, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. Sometimes the Lord's people get this witness of the Spirit that the Lord has heard them before they get the deliverance. Hannah did, didn't she? It's a wonderful thing, you know, it's part of the blessing that the verse 8 speaks of that I want to come to if I'm enabled. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. There is a blessing when the Lord enables us to cry unto him. Especially when he favours us with some intimation. It may be a felt sense of his presence with no word spoken. It may be a word spoken, a persuasion given by God, a felt sense of access. Sometimes the Lord's people cry and the heavens seem to be as brass. Other times it's not like that. Other times there's a felt sense that the prayer has entered into the ears of the Lord God of Sabaoth. You say, how will I know that? If there's an unburdening of your soul in a measure, if there's a little quietening through that exercise of crying unto him, that's an intimation that the Lord has heard you. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. He was poor then because he needed saving. Those are good congregations, you know, where there are sinners congregated by God and they need saving. You know, when the Lord gathers a congregation of sinners that need saving, feelingly need saving, you put a man in the pulpit or bless the reading of a sermon, and those sinners will be saved. When the poor and needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, would not forsake them. Ah, what a solemn place to be in now. To be lost and needing saving. And to be brought to this, my hope, my only hope's in thee. Now when he saves that one, it is in the revelation of Christ. There can be no other saving out of all a man's troubles but by the making known of the Saviour Jesus Christ. And when that revelation is given, when that name is proclaimed with power, when that blood is applied, when that blessed righteousness is imputed, when that revelation is given, it saves a sinner out of all his troubles. And you see, that was what the cry constituted. You're not crying unto the Lord in the way David was. If you're saying, in effect, Lord, I've got this and I've got that, but I haven't got the other. You're crying as David was if you're brought to say this, Lord, I've nothing. I've nothing toward the salvation of my soul. Because that's your true condition. That's what the Lord found fault with In that letter to the churches, thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That hymn you just sung, in which there was a confession of such death, what is the remedy? Christ is the remedy. And whatever you've come in here this evening with as a malady, Christ is the only remedy for that malady. And when the remedy is made known, when Christ is made known, when the Spirit takes of him and shows him to you, you will be saved out of all your troubles. Out of the trouble of your death, out of the trouble of your hardness, out of the trouble of your unbelief, out of the trouble of your idolatry, out of the trouble of your worldliness, out of the trouble of your guilt and misery, out of the trouble of your inability to cease from sin, out of the trouble of your bondage, that saved him out of all his troubles. But you say, mine is a self-procured trouble. They all are. They all are. I know there are particular ones in the Lord's people's experience which we perhaps, under the conviction of them, they are laid to our charge as particularly aggravated self-procured troubles. That is, as David was in here. But you know that is good Holy Spirit work. When he leads his people to see everything they come into as self-procured. Well, this text says, and saved him out of all his troubles. Oh, the wonder of it. When the Lord Jesus went to wash Peter's feet, he said, thou shalt never wash my feet. If I wash thee not, said Christ, hast no part with me. Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And saved him out of all his troubles. Why? Because he is the Lord. Because he is good. Because the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, bore himself all the troubles of his people. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And the text speaks of saving him out, brought out with a mighty arm. Who is this that cometh from Eden with thy garments and Bozrah? The particular description there is of the Lord returning as that triumphant warrior, having conquered all the enemies of his people, stained his garments with their blood. But when we speak of the Lord Jesus Christ as returning triumphant from the battle to save his elect people from all their enemies, what is that in which his garments are stained? What was needed to save them from their enemies? His own precious blood. Now if you get a view of that, who is this that cometh from Edom, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save, mighty to save. Oh, poor sinner, tonight your enemies, they're lively and they're strong, but they're not as strong as Christ. And saved him out of all his trouble. That mighty arm, that saving word, the word of his own mouth. Now he says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. The angel is the messenger of the Lord from heaven. This word is used in several applications in the scriptures, and in every one it represents the messenger of God. There are those ministering angels. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. That's one fulfillment of the text. Oh, an invisible yet impregnable defense. A sovereign protector I have, unseen yet forever, and he encampeth round about his people. But then, as the word angel represents the messenger, the word also speaks of the Lord himself. Jacob said, didn't he, the angel that redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. It speaks of the Lord's ministers, the angel of the churches. As we read of it in the book of the Revelation, the angel of the church at this place and that place, as the apostles were inspired to write. The Holy Spirit. Oh, the blessed, almighty third person in the Trinity. What a messenger he is. If there be a messenger, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to make known unto man his uprightness, who could that be but the Holy Spirit? Then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down into the pit, I found a ransom. The angel of the Lord encampeth. That word encampeth. Firstly, it sets forth that these people, like David, who have this favour, are pilgrims. They're pilgrims. This is not their rest. They're on a pilgrimage. They're led by the Spirit in that spiritual way we read of in the psalm. Blessed are they in whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. Our days on the earth are as a shadow. There is none abiding. We are strangers and sojourners with thee, as all our fathers were. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. The angel of the Lord encampeth. But the second thing about this word encamping is the abiding presence. It is not one that pays a fleeting visit. It's one that encampeth. The angel of the Lord, when he is given, when a child of God is called by, and of course, before they're called by grace, still the angel of the Lord is round about them in the way of preserving their lives. But if we speak particularly of this in the spiritual sense, from the call by grace, the unction. But ye have an unction from the Holy One. And John goes on to say, and the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. Now, the Lord's people don't always feel this presence. So they may often have to complain, as the church of old did, why art thou as a wayfaring man that tarrieth but a night? But what the church of God is speaking of then is the felt presence. But what the psalmist here is speaking of is the presence when it is felt and when it is not felt. Have you been favoured to prove this at times when it is made known, when the Lord shows his presence with you by his influence, by his words spoken, by glimpses of his face, by words from his lips. But then have you also had to prove that when you thought he wasn't there, he was? But then how may we just briefly, and I must confine my remarks, just as it were, sow a few seeds in this matter, as the Lord may help me. How is this presence of the angel of the Lord encamping round about his people? Well, the encamping round about sets forth defence. You say, I can't have this, I surely don't have this, because I haven't been defended. I've fallen. Well, this is the testimony of a man that fell. When the Lord encamps round about his people, he doesn't always see fit in his infinite wisdom to preserve a man or a woman from falling. But he does preserve them from falling finally. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him by his hand. And then you see, how is the presence made known? The chastening. As the Lord made his unseen, unknown presence known by the smiting of his rod. As he made it known by the convincing of your soul. The question, where is he? As he made it known, does he make it known as he causes your soul to be dissatisfied without him? As he made it known by suffering such things to take place, as took place in David's case here. But then, the angel of the Lord encamping round about his people, even when they're in such a place as David was here, or in such a place as he was at Ziklag, and the Lord is still there. By that, how does the child of God discover this? A cry is put in their heart. You know, here is the difference between a child of God and one who is not a child of God. Does the one who is not a child of God cry unto the Lord? No. The world to creature objects flies, their maladies to heal. But Zion cries to God on high, do thou thy face reveal. He encampeth round about them that fear him. But then you see, there's also this way in which this is made known. There is a word, you know, that says this. None can deliver out of my hand. That's one way in which the Lord's people prove he encamps round about them. Not just on one side, but all around them. Now that means there's a defence on every side. But it also means there is no escaping out of his hand. There is no escaping out of his jurisdiction. There is no escaping from his ministry. Have you proved this? Maybe in some temporal trouble. As it were, the Lord appeared on one side in shutting one door. You thought, I'll go the other way. But the Lord shut that door as well. Have you proved like Job proved, he sealeth up the hand of every man, that all men may know his work? Every door is shut but one, and that is mercy's door. Why? The Lord is encamping round about you. Be quite sure, my dear friend, If the law wasn't encamping round about you, you'd find a way to escape out of his hand. You'd get relief from your soul, supposedly from some other quarter. But it wouldn't really be relief. You'd get a supposed deliverance. The warning to them that go down to Egypt for help. When David went down to the land of the Philistines, the Lord was encamped around about him. David, this is not your home. This is not your people. Oh, are you young people beginning to prove this? The angel of the Lord encamping round about you? The tender fear of God working in your heart? How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? I often say to my young people at home, remind them of Joseph. His father Jacob thought he was dead. He didn't have his father looking over his shoulder. He had his heavenly father looking over his shoulder. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Oh, you see this encamping round about. What security? What security? Encampeth round about them that fear him. His very encamping works the fear. Because he makes himself known there. Oh, what a mercy. Poor sinner here this evening, if the Lord makes his presence known there. Known in your business. Known in your family. Known in your relationships. Known in your innermost soul. Known in everything. Known in all your matters in your life. And because he makes his presence known there in his word, by his spirit, by his dealings, you fear him. You fear him. You tremble before him. Oh, you sink because you know. You know by his teaching. There is no blessing but his. There is no way but his that is right. Oh, there is no salvation but that which he works. There is no blessing. There is no God but him. There is no happiness but what he giveth. Oh, in this fear the sinner trembles. He flees from sin by this fear. He flees to this Lord by this fear. He looks to this one. Now, David says to those he's writing to, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He says, look how I have proved he's good. Now he says, you prove that he is good. You call upon him. You cry unto him, poor sinner, in your distress. That's the only way of tasting. How can a sinner taste that the Lord is good? The Lord feeds them with good. The very word taste speaks of feeding. We taste with our tongue, with our mouth. Oh, it must be tasted. When a poor sinner has got a bitter taste in their mouth, the taste of trouble, whatever that trouble is, what a bitter taste it is to be in real trouble. Well, how shall that one taste the Lord is good? Crying unto him and the Lord giving him something to take the bitter taste away. The sweetening of the waters of Marah. The giving of the bread of life. Oh, the washing away of your sins. The outstretched arm to save you. When in your crying unto him, why are you crying? Paul says we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raiseth the dead. Oh, taste, taste. The woman tasted, didn't she? She said, the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Oh, your case is just the same this evening, sinner. There is only one that can give you food, and that's Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Son of David. He has the food is himself. He is good. He is the goodness. There is goodness nowhere else. Worship God then in his Son. There is love and there alone. You see, David says, taste and see. And he sets forth this. You'll never get this taste from within you. You must be fed by the Lord. And if you cry unto him as a hungry sinner, and what is the hunger? You need God in all that he is. You need Christ in all that he is. Oh, you poor dead sinners, feelingly dead. What will quicken you? The bread of life. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. How shall you eat? How shall you taste? You see, there's so much theoretical religion about us. But the Lord won't leave us like that. If we're his, he won't leave us with a theoretical religion. The hymn writer says, doesn't he? To see good bread and wine is not to eat and drink. So many who hear the word of grace do not believe, but think. What's the difference? You never taste by thinking. You taste by believing. How do you believe? Come in as an unbeliever to him who is the giver of faith. This poor man who needs the faith to eat the Son of God. This poor man who needs the bread blessed and break and give to him. Oh, my dear friend, ask the Lord Jesus for a crumb of himself. Taste. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. There's nothing in this world that tastes so sweet as the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no word anyone can say to you. Oh, we will be thankful for the words of love of our dear ones, but they're nothing compared with a word from the blessed Christ. Oh, an answer to prayer, the sweetness of eating. Oh, taste. Oh, taste. And see. How shall they see? Surely what David says here sets forth, this is one of the things the Lord's people have to cry for. Bartimaeus did, didn't he? Jesus said to him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee, Lord, that I might receive my sight? And so it means this, a poor blind sinner crying. So David here, or rather the Spirit through David, is saying to these poor blind ones, cry unto me. Oh, my dear friend, may the Lord deliver us from being satisfied with being so sick. What a solemn thing it is if you can go, come in and out of the house of God, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, and you never get this feast, and so you never get this sight. You never behold that scene of matchless grace, Jesus in this sinner's place. Oh, taste and see. say, I'm so blind. Well, what did Jesus send in the message back to John the Baptist? The blind receive their sight. Who is this one that is cried unto? Why is the sight of his people? In thy light shall we see light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Oh, taste and see. Oh, the Lord lead you, my dear friend, in your closet. Whether that be physically your closet or spiritually, as you go about your daily life, cry unto him till he give you this taste and sight. I tell you, it'll spoil you to everything else. You say, my trouble is, I haven't got a strong enough want for this. Well, David said, the Lord saved him out of all his trouble. If your trouble is you haven't got a strong enough want, cry unto him, Lord. Lord, make me really want thee. If you say, I don't see my sins as I ought, is that a trouble to you? Cry unto him and he'll save you out of it and you'll see your sins. Suki did, didn't she? Suki Harley. That was the deliverance. The Lord showed her her sins as she'd never seen them before. And then showed her himself. And then she saw not her sins. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He is good. I can't describe his goodness. No one can. Because no one can describe God. His goodness is unsearchable. Unto me is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches. That goodness, not hearing the cry because it's such a good one, but hearing the cry because it's in the name of the good one. Not hearing the cry because that one's got anything good about them, but hearing them because he imputes to them the goodness of his Son. Saving them out of the goodness of his heart. Saving them in his faithfulness. Saving all that goodness. Taste and see. You say, oh, if only I could find some goodness in myself. You never will. It's the Lord that's good, not you. What goodness was that that took all the badness of his people and laid it on his Son? Now, taste that the Lord is good. It's declared to you that he is good, but that won't save you. It won't save you to have sat and listened all your days to the declaration of the goodness. Taste. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. He is blessed. The trust is of him. He trusts because he's blessed. He's blessed with this new birth. He's blessed with this faith. Oh, my dear friend, there is only one trustworthy one. Oh, how infinitely trustworthy he is. He's not a man that he should lie. Now, that's trust. It's when God speaks to a poor sinner, that's a blessing. And he speaks to that poor sinner in such a way as he causes them to trust what he said. Venture on him. Look to him to do what he says. Wait upon him to do what he says. And what has he said he will do for his people? Everything. Whatever it is tonight, from the very least thing in your life to the very greatest thing, which is the salvation of your soul. He has said he would do the whole. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Blessed is the man. I just touched on it earlier. Comes again to me now. Oh, how blessed it is to trust. You know, when we're in these troubles, when we're in need, as we are constantly, but when it's felt and our heart sinks under these things and we think, how are we going to manage? And the matter is so complicated and it's out of our control. We haven't the wisdom to deal with this matter. We don't understand it. We can't understand it. Then to be enabled to cease from trying to understand it, to cease from trying to put it right, to cease from trying to save ourselves and look to the Lord God Almighty, to look beyond second causes to Him, to look beyond men to Him, to look out of self to Him. Blessed is the man. Oh, he is blessed, because the man that trusts in Him, God is that man's God. Will God fail that one? No. He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged till he has set judgment in the earth. I thought of that hymn, I quoted the last verse in prayer. How blessed is the man who in Jesus believes, and on him can cast all his care. Well, what a blessed end. The time is now fixed, and soon it will come. This poor man, who is blessed with this trust, who cries all his days because God campeth round about him and he keeps laying things upon him. So he has to cry and cry and cry and cry again. But the time is now fixed, and soon it will come when Christ will his messenger send to fetch him from Meshech and carry him home. Yes, carry him home. He doesn't have to find his own way home. He doesn't have to do anything himself. And then all his troubles will end. Blessed, eternally blessed, infinitely blessed, Christ is his. He's clean, washed in that precious blood. He's justified. One day he'll be glorified. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Ramsbottom is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Jabez Rupp next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 441. So fair a face bedewed with tears, what beauty e'en in grief appears. He wept, he bled, he died for you. What more, ye saints, could Jesus do? 441.
Thank you.
has been of self. Bless thy own word, we thank thee for it. Keep us safe, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.